Good morning, City Church. This is Avery Beckendorf, bringing you what I hope is a moment of sanity at the start of your day, a moment of truth from God's Word, a moment of grace. I love books. I love borrowing books from the library, love searching book sale stacks for treasures, love rereading old favorites. A few years ago, with January's Remake Your Life energy running high, probably in the midst of a rage decluttering session, I decided I owned too many books I hadn't read. Then I decided that I hadn't read these books yet because I had a steady habit of checking out new releases from the library. And as every library junkie knows, you don't sleep on those non-renewable two-week checkouts that have holds lists a mile long. With the problem identified, I quickly found a solution. Stop checking out library books and read books from my own shelves for a whole year. So simple. I went all in on my arbitrary library fast. I dedicated a special tiny notebook to this project. In it, I wrote out a highly unrealistic schedule listing which books I would read each month of the year, maintaining a consistent rotation of different genres of fiction, as well as memoir, historical nonfiction, and even some Christian living titles. If I simply stuck to my schedule, by the end of the year, I could make my way through at least 36 of the volumes that were currently languishing on my shelves. You can probably finish this story without my help. You guessed it, I did not follow through with this made-up regimen. Sure, I kept up with it for a few months, but as the year went on, I was checking off fewer books from my list each month and, right again, checking out more and more library books. My self-made self-improvement plan had failed me. Or I had failed at it, or both of those things. I thought of this ill-fated experiment when I read one of our daily office lectionary passages for today. Colossians 2:8-23 warns against the lure of regulations and disciplines that may seem worthwhile, but ultimately are without substance and cannot save us. Paul reminds the Colossians in verses 8-15 that because the whole fullness of God dwells in Christ, and as believers, they are now filled with Christ, they do not need any additional philosophies to access the power and authority of God himself. He's essentially exhorting them not to add extra requirements to the gospel, already perfect in Christ's finished work on the cross. Listen to verses 8-12. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. In verses 16-23, Paul goes on to emphasize that habits and disciplines cannot save sinners. My ESV Study Bible explains that in Colossae at the time, false teachers were advocating asceticism for spiritual growth. But the study note says, quote, "The true path to spiritual maturity is holding fast to Christ as the head, not following these misguided human rules." And in verse 17, Paul calls such rules a shadow of the things to come and reiterates that the substance belongs to Christ. It's not that our habits don't form us, they do, but the danger lies in believing our habits can save us or make us worthy of saving. Perhaps you, too, have a self-made religion or two. My book challenge is a fairly innocuous example, but there are plenty of truly deceptive philosophies we can be duped by. From legalism and religiosity to arbitrary or obsessive rules we make up, we often grasp at any and every mode of control or mastery we can think of. But not only do we eventually, or quickly, in the case of my library fast, fail to measure up to the standards of these rules, doesn't it ultimately cheapen the costly sacrifice Jesus paid for me when I act as though I can add something of value to it by my own efforts? This passage is a helpful corrective when I am tempted to base my identity on my ability to stick to a new habit, or when I start to believe the lie that if I just change this one tricky behavior, I can remake myself into the sparkly best self I was meant to be. Today, I challenge you to consider where those temptations lie for you. What empty philosophy has taken you captive? I'll close by reading verses 13 through 15, which so beautifully remind us that the gospel is not a message of disciplined self-improvement, but of the dead being brought back to life by the grace of God. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Thanks be to God. Thanks for listening, City Church. We'll be back on Monday with another episode of Good Morning City Church. Until then, stay well and do good.
Good Morning City Church is a weekday podcast produced by the staff and members of City Church of Richmond, located in Richmond, Virginia. To learn more about us, please visit citychurchrva.com. That's citychurchrva.com. And thanks for listening.